Wow. Was that Cheryl Valentine or was that me? I think it's getting harder to tell the difference. And I think that is because as we awaken, you know, we come to the one voice that we all share, right? So the differences disappear, don't they? That's true. It's true. I was listening to you and it could have been me. It's because it's the same. It's amazing, Cheryl. It's wonderful. Yeah, I love you too. All right, so we are here for Holy Spirit Guides, which is the period of time that's been set aside to go through my personal journal that has been given to me to be helpful to me. And of course, as you guys know, we're in the period of time right now when we're looking at the messages that were given to Laurent and me. I really don't expect him to show up this week. I know I said that last week and then he showed up, but now he is in Tiruvannamalai. And it's about 5:30 p.m. there right now. So, you know, I don't know if he's up and about or taking a late afternoon nap or whatever, but I'm assuming that he's up to something. Not up to no good, as they say, but up to something worthwhile. And if he happens to pop in, he pops in, but I'm certainly not expecting it now. I'm very, very happy that he's in Tiru and that my friend Lisa is in Tiru, and I'm sure many of my other friends that I'm not even aware of are in Tiru right now, especially now that I have been there. It's like they are in my heart. When they are there, they are in my heart, and it's so wonderful to have them there moving about in my heart. We have two messages left in this series of messages given to Laurent and me. And tonight we're going to be looking at a message called, You Are a Student of Feeling Now. You can even tell from the title that we were graduating in some way from, you know, some level. You know, I don't know, kindergarten, first grade, fourth grade, I don't know, but graduating from some level to another level. Because when it says you are a student of feeling now, it's implying that our previous way of learning no longer applies and it's time for a new way of learning because we are more mature and more ready. So what I'm going to do is I'll give you this link. It's not the link I meant to give you, but here you go. Apparently this is the last link I copied. This is a link to a Facebook page that I created today, P. Shanmugam and Sons, Tiruvannamalai. It says it was not sent because it's too long. Okay, it is a long link, so you guys didn't even get it. But it's a Facebook page that I created today for a friend of mine in Tiruvannamalai, a sculptor. I wanted to bring more attention to him and his father and brother and the work that they do. So I did create a page today. I haven't really, you know, like invited everyone to see it yet because I'm waiting for my friends in Tiru to look at it and say, yes, they like it. But if you go to my Facebook page, you'll see a few pictures that I was tagged in with my friend Shiva in Tiruvannamalai. And if you click on those pictures, it will take you to a photo album that is on this page, the P. Shanmugam and Sons Tiruvannamalai page. But the link, it was too long, and if I try to post it again, it's just too long. So let me go and get the link I meant to post. Jasmine helped create this page. I thought it was so sweet. All afternoon, she sat here with me creating this page for these friends of mine in Tiru that she's never met. And it was very thoughtful and very patient and very sweet of her. The question I have in the room now is, how long is Lisa Hansen staying in India? I do believe she told me a total of 47 days. And I think she went on January 5th, if I remember correctly. So she's not quite halfway done yet, I would say. There is a picture of Lisa and Shiva, by the way, in the photo album, the same one that I am tagged in. Probably if you go to Lisa Hansen's page, you'll see that picture of her and Shiva. Also, Jay McCormick shows up in the albums, and he's tagged. So if you go to his page, you'll see those pictures. But if you click on any of these tag pictures, it will take you to this new page that I created. And you could look at everything there if you wanted to. I think I created 3 or 4 photo albums on that page using my pictures, Jay's pictures, and Lisa's pictures that she has sent me via iPhone, iPhone to iPhone. All right, so before we go into You Are a Student of Feeling now, I would love to have a moment of silence. So if you all would join me in that, I would appreciate it. Amen. All right, why don't we look at this message? You are a student of feeling now. Question, open-ended question. Please share what you want to share. So open for anything. It is time for you to learn the difference between fear and intuitive prompts. You will make some errors for a time because you still trust fear. Would you believe I looked up to see if anybody had their hand up? I'm not sure why and totally lost my place. So I guess I'm going to have to start over. You will make some errors for a time because you still trust fear and expect it to protect you. That's okay. You cannot make a critical error. When you notice that you have listened to fear, simply say to yourself, okay, I see that I listened to fear there. Forgive yourself immediately and let me be like the GPS device. There's an extra the in that sentence. Forgive yourself immediately and let me be like the GPS device. Let me recalculate the route based on where we are now. I will always do that. And if you will always trust the moment without wanting to go back and recorrect the past, we can get on together moving forward in the same direction very quickly. If you want to go back and recorrect the past, I will wait for you. When you are ready to join with me, we'll move on together. Let go of the past. Let go of the past. Once I have recalculated the route, let go of the past completely and join with me on the recalculated route now. One thing that I used to do, and probably Laurent and I did, and maybe many of you have done also, is if there was some feeling of guilt or some feeling of fear or some feeling of anger or hatred or anything, I would go back in my mind and try to find the thought that made or created this effect. You know, if I was guilty, I would try to find the thought that led to this feeling of guilt, or if I was angry, the thought that led to this feeling of anger. And Spirit is asking us to let go of that. instead of going back and, you know, searching the mind to find out, you know, what made me feel this way, just right now, right this second, turn my attention to Spirit and say, Spirit, what would you have me do now? To do that instead. And probably many times, I'm guessing, when we went back to try and find out the thought that had created the current effect, we were probably doing it with the analyzing mind, with ego, which means sometimes we weren't even coming up with the right answers, or maybe all of the time we weren't even coming up with the right answers. We were kind of doing it on our own. And I think many people who have learned forgiveness through A Course in Miracles or similar paths have probably made this mistake of on our own going back and seeking our errors. And when we do that, we could come up with the wrong answer completely, or we could come up with an answer that seems to satisfy the ego, but the truth is it's not the really deep answer. It's not the healing. And so it's possible that the same mistakes just keep getting made over and over and over again. We keep ending up back in the same place over and over and over again. So what Spirit is asking here is for us to let go of that going back in the mind, what led up to this. And just right now, right this second, you know, no matter where we are, no matter how lost we seem to have gotten, turn on that GPS, which means tune into Spirit. And basically say, Spirit, this is where I'm at now. How do I get home from here? Forget the past. This is where I'm at now. Right? How do I get home from here? And let Spirit start guiding in the current moment from the current moment. If there is a thought that we need to see, we don't need to go in search of it. Spirit will show it to us itself. So there's nothing that we need to do other than turn our mind over to Spirit. Hello, Miss Jamie. Jamie wants to go outside. Hold on one moment. All right. So next I say, I am that I am. If you were here last week, you know that I was given this mantra, I am that I am, and I was told to say it whenever I remembered to say it. And so apparently right here in the middle of a message of Spirit, the thought popped into my mind to say the mantra. So I went ahead and took the time to say it, even in writing. I am that I am. And then I go back to my conversation with Spirit. Okay. I just took a moment to let go of the belief that I could have made a mistake by not listening to you. I saw guilt in my mind and a belief that I could be wrong. I saw how this belief was merely an obstacle to listening to you now. Nothing more. I repeated my mantra to clear my vibrational level of the past. I am ready to move forward by listening to you now. So I don't remember this day specifically, so I don't remember the story of what I think the guidance may have been that I didn't listen to, but I think we've all made mistakes like this, so it's pretty familiar without the specifics of the story. Here's Holy Spirit's answer. As you listen more carefully, tune into my vibrational level more consistently, you will receive more instructions that are truly bizarre to the thinking mind or to the little self. If you try to reconcile the instructions with the little self before moving forward, you will stand still because the little self cannot reconcile with the instructions I shall give. I am leading you from the little self. This is also why you shall sometimes make mistakes. There are times you will not listen to my instructions because they are bizarre to the little self. That is okay. Remember that you cannot make a critical error. Let go of the past and move forward by listening to me now. I can always recalculate the route. Now, this, of course, makes perfect sense. Holy Spirit's job is to lead us from who we think we are to the truth of what we are, the realization of what we really are. And so, often, Holy Spirit's guidance may not seem to make sense to the little self or to who we think we are, because little self would have responded this way, or little self would have acted this way, right? Or little self would have reacted this way, or little self would have done this about that. And Spirit is guiding us away from those repetitive, habitual behaviors that keep us believing we are what we are not. So if we're tuning into Spirit and asking, what am I to say? What am I to do? How am I to respond? We may very well receive guidance that is not what the little self would do. And if we stop and analyze that guidance with the little self, we're probably going to talk ourselves out of following that guidance. And so that's going to happen sometimes, because we're so used to thinking that I am this, I am Regina, I am this, and you know, and I'm a logical, smart woman, and you know, and I can judge what's bizarre and what's reasonable, and I always want to make reasonable choices, right? It sounds logical. My dad would probably be very proud of what I just said. He'd think he raised me right. But that exact thinking is going to lead me not to follow guidance. And it's also going to leave me stuck in the perception that I am Regina, right? And that I do know what is best. So Spirit's really asking two things here. Spirit is asking first that we listen, that we not judge our guidance based on, you know, little self's thoughts, little self's wisdom, that we just listen and do. But if we should happen to make the mistake of judging with little self's wisdom first and not do, then as soon as we realize we didn't follow guidance, in that moment, just ask for a recalculation. In other words, it doesn't matter, you know, if we were supposed to go right and we went left, it doesn't matter, because just like a GPS, Holy Spirit can still tell us how to get home from there. We're never in a place... We never get ourselves into a situation or a state where Holy Spirit cannot guide from there. So in that way, if you imagine a map and you're the little pin on the map, you can go anywhere on the map, right? Anywhere on the map. But in actuality, the map is Holy Spirit. So no matter where you go on the map, you are still in Holy Spirit. And therefore, Holy Spirit can guide you. You just can't get out of Holy Spirit. So it's kind of nice to know. And this message, by the way, came right after I saw my first GPS. This was in 2008, April 2008. I had seen my first GPS in March of 2008. So I had just learned what a GPS was. Laurent and I were at Camp for Miracles, and we borrowed somebody's car, I think. We had a rental car. We borrowed Pam Silverman's GPS, I believe. She had it with her. And we went to buy boots because it had snowed, deep snow, and we didn't have appropriate shoes. So we're following the GPS to the nearest boot store. And it tells us to take a left, and we look, and the road is a road that goes up a mountain and is deeply covered in snow. There's no way that we could take a left. You know, it was a road that's just not plowed during the snow season. So we had to keep going. And what I saw for the very first time as we kept going past that road, Pam's GPS is one of the ones that said, recalculating route, and then it just gave us another set of directions. So I had just seen that for the first time. And so Spirit was using that symbol in this particular message. It did not matter at all that Laurent and I could not take that left. We still got to the boot store, and we still got our boots, and we still got back to the conference. So that's what Spirit's saying. If we talk ourselves out of guidance, you know, we think we know better, and we don't do something. We make a different choice. It's okay. As soon as we realize we've done that, just ask for the recalculation. There's no need to go back. There's no need to lament how guilty I am for not following guidance. Just ask, okay, this is where I am now. Now what? And return to asking for guidance. So the next paragraph. Your brothers are one with you. If I give an instruction that requires your brother's listening, and he chooses to hear the voice of his little self, that is okay. He also cannot make a critical error. Always let go of the past and let me recalculate now. Always, I am moving in the right direction. I cannot be confused about our destination, so you can always trust listening to me now. I am never lost. No decision of fear gets in my way. I always see clearly to where we want to go. I see clearly our goal from any point on the road. So, again, I don't remember at all the specific situation here that may have led to this message coming, but let's just make up a story, shall we? Let's imagine that there was some guidance that Laurent and I seemed to receive together in this relationship, and that one of us seemed to say yes to the guidance exactly as it was delivered, but the other one, who also had a part to play, seemed to say no, seemed to get talked out of it by listening to the little self. So it took both of us, it seems, to carry out whatever the guidance was. And since one of the two of us said no, it couldn't happen. Well, Spirit's saying that's okay too. You know, that's okay too. Just like you wouldn't, you know, just like I, Spirit, just like I am asking you not to judge yourself if you let little self talk you out of following guidance, do not judge your brother if your brother lets little self talk herself or his self out of following guidance. Because you know what? You're still on that same map that is Holy Spirit. The fact that your brother did not, quote, seem to follow through didn't change anything. It did not change my ability to guide you home. There's nothing lost. Don't worry about it. Don't sweat it. Just ask, what am I to do now? Right? Just tune into the GPS. And this is something that I've learned. I have learned that I am not dependent on someone else making, quote, the right choices, meaning listening to Spirit instead of little self. I am not dependent on someone else. So if the people around me seem to get frightened or whatever and are listening to a voice other than Spirit, I can let that happen. If I notice that I did that, I can actually let that be. I mean, it happened. Let that be and ask for guidance again now. I don't experience judgment or guilt in the way I used to, because I've learned that it just, it's not necessary. It's unnecessary suffering. So it doesn't even matter if an apparent mistake was made. It's only an apparent mistake. It's not a real mistake. Because again, you can't leave the map of Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean that if it's me, it doesn't mean that I wouldn't try and learn from that. Notice, you know, oh, this is how little self got me that time. This is the story it told that I listened to. It doesn't mean I wouldn't try to learn from that so that I don't keep repeating that mistake. You know, get better and better at tuning into Spirit as a result of my mistakes. In fact, I think that's the wonderful thing about mistakes, to be honest. I think that as we make mistakes in our listening, there's something in us then that becomes more aware of what Spirit felt like compared to what little self felt like. And as a result, we become better at being tuned into Spirit and not falling for the little self logic or story. So I actually, in that way, like mistakes. I feel like every time I make a mistake, I'm actually a little more tuned in than before. They're refining opportunities, if you will. All right, so the next paragraph. Oh, what we just talked about. What you want to focus on learning is the difference in the feeling of little self-guidance, which comes from fear, and my guidance, which does not. You will notice there is no fear in my guidance, even though the instructions may be completely bizarre to the little self. If you let little self commentary get into the guidance, fear will become attached to it. But you will not lose sight of the fact that this bizarre guidance at first came with no fear. And again, an example that I could give is like when the guidance came for me to, originally the guidance that caused me the most fear as I thought about it was the guidance to quit my job back when I lived in Boston and moved to North Carolina, right? But when that guidance initially came, and it actually came while I was in the shower, and when that guidance initially came, there was no fear. I wasn't in the shower worrying about, you know, something like, oh, my job's getting in the way of me practicing the course, I need to get out of my job, you know, and then, oh, I know, and then an idea, oh, I know, I'll do this. It wasn't like that. The guidance seemed to come out of nowhere, and there was no fear. It was just do this, and just like a, you know, I just felt it. But after I thought about it, after a little self got in there with its stories, then I became fearful. Same thing with when I had the guidance to move to Pueblo. When the guidance came, there was no fear. In fact, I would even call these, I don't know how to describe the feeling, but almost like enlightening moments. And I don't mean that, that I became enlightened, but that the way the idea came into my mind, it was like a light went on with the light, with the idea. It was an enlightening moment. A light went on with the idea, like this is what you are to do, and there was a recognition of it. But then after thinking about it and after letting the fear stories get in, then fear came, right? Where little self's guidance, the fear comes first. Little self's guidance is more like, oh no, I'm running out of money. I'm scared of running out of money. What can I do to make money? I need to make money. This whole story's going on. And then one day, oh, an idea. Here's how I can make money. When actually that idea is simply answering the fear that was already happening. And so what Spirit is asking us to do in this particular message is learn to tune into that. Learn to really feel. Because we can't trust our logic mind to tell us what's guidance and what isn't guidance. Because the truth is, the logic mind is the little self. So we have to really tune into the feeling. Was this an enlightening moment where for a moment I heard do something and I recognized it and I knew I was to do it? I knew. Or was this some idea that came up to make me feel better about a fear that I already had? Holy Spirit continues. As you get better attuned to the no fear vibration that accompanies my guidance, you will get better at trusting it even though the little self cannot agree. And the little self will not be able to agree because I am leading you from the belief that you are that little self. If I led you to do what the little self wanted, I would be teaching you to maintain the belief that you are that little self or that self. I am teaching you that that self is not what you are, but I am teaching you through the vibration of no fear. Whenever fear arises, it is because you are listening to the voice of little self. Whenever fear arises, it is because you are listening to the voice of little self. This is always the case. There is no fear when you listen to only me. You may have heard my words clearly, but the little self-commentary is what added the feeling of fear. Therefore, you must learn that you cannot trust the feeling of fear. Whenever you are trusting the feeling of fear, you are trusting the voice of little self. When you trust no fear, you trust me, because there is no fear in me. I am not fear. Know me in the vibration of no fear. So if we go back to the example again of my guidance to leave my job and move originally, the thought that came into my mind that provided that guidance, that came, like I said, as an enlightening thought. It just came out of nowhere. It came out of nothingness, which is really what God is, so that makes sense. It came out of nothingness and was just presented, and there was just this moment of, like recognition, that's what I am to do. That's my guidance, that's what I'm to do. And then after thinking about, well, what am I going to do for money and, all of this stuff, then the fear came in. Well, of course, my mind and my past experience was actually telling me that the voice of fear was the logical voice. I mean, everything I'd ever learned, from my parents, from my experience, was what you do is you get a good job and that's how you take care of yourself. That's how you make sure you're safe. No one ever taught me that you leave a job and you trust something, invisible. No one ever taught me that. So the guidance was going against everything I knew, everything middle America, Kansas, Regina, responsible, normal family knew. But when he says, trust the feeling of no fear, do not trust the feeling of fear, he's really asking me to tune into the idea that when I'm thinking about, but what am I going to do for money? How am I going to feed me and my daughter? There's fear underneath all of those thoughts. And when the initial guidance came in just to do this, there was no fear. So instead of trusting what my mind would say is logical, instead of trusting what my dad would say is logical, instead of trusting what all of my friends would say is logical, trust that feeling of no fear and do not trust that feeling of fear. So whatever fear is saying, oh no, don't do this, something bad's going to happen, that's what I'm not to trust. And whatever no fear is saying, just go and trust, that's what I am to trust. So again, we can't trust logic, because logic comes from the little self, and logic is going to talk us out of our guidance. We need to learn to trust that feeling of no fear when the guidance originally came, and then learn not to trust the feeling of fear that may follow as little self begins its commentary and its opinions regarding the guidance. I love this first sentence in the last paragraph we read. Whenever fear arises, it is because you are listening to the voice of little self. This is always the case. So whatever we're listening to in that moment, those are ideas we do not need to listen to, because they are merely trying to talk us away from our path of awakening. Next paragraph. Do not listen to fear and call it guidance. In trusting guidance as the feeling of fear, you do not teach yourself to listen to me. See fear as the wrong vibration, not as a judgment against yourself, but as being out of alignment. Using the method I have given you, which is the mantra you were assigned. Use the method I have given you, which is the mantra you were assigned. Use this method and you know you have not slipped into listening to fear. When your vibrational level has been raised back to the level of no fear, do what you hear to do. The instruction you hear may be new or it may be the same. You cannot discern guidance based on the instruction. You discern that it is guidance based on the feeling of no fear. So, if I receive a guidance to do something, right, to go over and say this to my brother, and then I start thinking, oh, geez, but what's he going to think of me when I say that? Oh, gee, you know. In the time that I stand there thinking about it and not doing it, something may have shifted in my brother's mind. So that by the time I come back and get back into the vibration of no fear, then and then ask what my guidance is, it may not any longer be, go say this to your brother. It might now be something different. Guidance is always in the present moment. And guidance takes the best interest of the whole in the present moment and delivers what's best for us to do. But present moment, you could say, is constantly shifting. So if we don't follow a guidance immediately, when we check back in, it could change. And that's okay. And sometimes it doesn't change. With the guidance to go to Pueblo, from the time I received the guidance until the time my house sold was about a year and a half. And as always, you know, when you live your life in a glass house where other people can watch what you're doing and have their own opinions about it and give comments about what you're doing, as always, there were people who thought I was wrong about the guidance to go to Pueblo. And there were certain people who maybe in the beginning thought I was right, but when it didn't happen immediately began to think I was wrong, right? So what I did was I would continually check in during this year and a half when it didn't happen. I would continually check in, is this still my guidance? And each time I did, I got a reaffirming in the present moment, yes. But I didn't run on the memory of the guidance that I received last March and assume that it might not ever change. I didn't do that. In fact, one thing that happened during the year and a half, about half a year after I received the guidance to move to Pueblo, is the guidance came to let Laurent go. So that was a pretty big shift. You know, when the guidance came, we were a couple, and before the guidance could be carried out, we were no longer a couple. So, you know, you could say it was possible that when that big of a shift occurred, that the guidance would have changed, that whatever was leading to the move to Pueblo now, that no longer existed. But that didn't happen in this case, as you know. The guidance stayed. But the point is, we don't want to even use our memory and say, my guidance was this, and hold on to it in some defensive state, because it could change. We want to be always checking the current moment. Is this still my guidance? If for some reason it's something that's not carried out immediately, we want to continually check and we want to be open to a shift in guidance. And we want to tune into those feelings of fear and no fear. And make sure that we aren't just afraid of something. And then we say, well, my guidance is this, because the truth is, whew, now I can breathe a sigh of relief because I was really scared shitless to do that other thing, right? And once again, Spirit is telling us that if we do let little self talk us out of our guides, that that's okay. Just as soon as we notice that, ask for new guidance again now. Ask for, you know, what's the guidance from this point? How do I get home from here? So if I hadn't moved to Pueblo, for example, or I hadn't left Boston and moved to North Carolina, or I hadn't finished writing NTI because I got too scared, anything along the way, then all I would have had to do when I realized that I got scared and didn't follow guidance was say, okay, I didn't do that. I was too scared. What would you have me do now? And the GPS will guide me from that point. The next paragraph. You are a student of feeling now, not thought. You are learning to tune in at a vibrational level, not think yourself into understanding. Learn to feel and to make adjustments based on feeling. Keep the mind focused on now. You cannot attune when the mind is going over the past or dreaming about the future. See your mantra as your most useful tool now. Use it always. Bless you. I am with you now. I am with you always. But I want your mind focused on now. Find me now. Always find me in the moment called now. Keep looking only there. Stay there. Stay now. So if you're going down the road and you have a set of directions and you know, the next direction is to turn left at the next corner, and for some reason you miss that left and you go on down here and then you turn here and then you turn here and finally say, oh, I know where I'm at now. You can't go back to those old directions that say at the next corner turn left because you aren't in the same place. So what you need to do at that point is you need to say, okay, I got lost for a bit. I think I know kind of where I'm at now. I understand. What do you want me to do now? If you happen to be right back in the same place, then maybe you will get a direction to turn left at the next corner. But maybe you'll get a direction to go forward for a mile and take a right. Maybe you'll get a direction to turn around as soon as possible. You have to check. You can't stay with those old directions. But it doesn't matter where you're at, Spirit can always lead you. So that's nice. I think it was John Mundy that I heard later after this message came also talk about Holy Spirit as the GPS. And I think he called it as the, was it, do you remember what he called it? It was here in Pueblo. I don't think it was God positioning system, but maybe it was. I thought he's had more to it than just putting the word God in. Yeah, I don't remember. But he was using the same example. If you are in this message, you are a student of feeling now. You can scroll back to the top of it, and you'll see at the top where it says, what's the desire I am truly choosing? You can click on that. That's our next message. It's a long message, so we won't finish it today, but I think we will start it. For those of you who are not in the message at all and you would like to go to this message with us, here is a link. This is the last message in the Regina and Laurent series. I see Sabrina is asking, can you explain a bit feeling? I don't understand the question exactly, Sabrina. Can you ask a little more? And if do you want to take the mic and ask the question? If you do, just stick up your hand. It is true that some things are very difficult to explain. You know, like intuition. How do you explain the difference between intuition and logic? You either feel the difference between intuition or logic, and therefore you know what those words mean. Or you don't feel the difference and you're confused and you're always asking people, what do you mean? What's the difference? some things you have to learn on your own. I heard this example somewhere. I don't remember. Yeah, the difference with emotion, for example. I don't remember what sentence I was using when you asked me to explain a bit about feeling. But for me, there's a big difference between emotions, which we also call feelings, and intuition, which can be called feeling. So the word feeling can point to either. It can point to emotion or it can point to intuition. And emotion is, of course, the feeling of anger, guilt, unworthiness, fear, frustration, annoyance. You know, you can label all of those feelings. And those are all the feelings we do not want to listen to. That's all little self. Intuition is also called feeling, and but it's not an emotion at all. It has no emotion. It's, how would you describe intuition? It's knowing is another word. It's an intuitive knowing, a feeling knowing. It's not coming from thinking, which is why the word feeling is often used, but it's also not coming from emotion. That's the best I can do. Not very good, but the best I can do. All right, so the next message that we're looking at then is, what's the desire that I am truly choosing? And the question is, good morning, Holy Spirit. What would you like to share with us regarding vibrational levels? And here is the answer. Something smells good. Is that just you, Jasmine? I think she just got out of the shower. She smells quite good. Yes, that's you. My Jasmine smells like, what do you smell like?
Forever Sunshine.
Forever Sunshine from, what's the name of it? Bath and Body Works. Yeah, very nice smell. Okay. So, answer. First of all, I want to tell you all that you are doing a great job of waking yourself up. This is important for you to know. You are waking yourself up. I cannot wake you up. If I were to wake you up before you were ready, I would violate your free will as the Son of God. That is not something I can do. That is not something I would want to do. To violate freedom is to destroy God, and God cannot be destroyed. God is eternal truth. God lives forever free. Amen. So, when Spirit talks to us in the way Spirit just talked to us in that paragraph, Spirit is talking to us as we really are. You know, that which is completely free. And that which, well, that which really is God itself. So, if it chooses to dream, if it chooses to believe it is what it is not, then that's what happens. Nothing can wake us up from what we are choosing. But as we let go of that choosing, then we are waking ourselves up through our letting go. All right. Yes, Jamie's being funny, the dog. Okay, here we go. Next paragraph. So you are waking yourself up, and you are doing this through use of symbols. The symbols themselves have no real power. They are only tools used at the level of form. That which truly wakes you up is desire. The Course, by the way, calls this willingness. That which truly wakes you up is desire. When you see through the use of symbols to desire, you see truly. When you see that symbols are meaningless tools and desire is everything, you are waking up to the power that is the Son of God. I'm trying to think of how to say this. There's a desire that's not a desire. You know, typically what the word desire means is that there's something I don't have that I want to acquire. But there's another desire that's not a desire at all, because it's not that same thought, something I don't have that I want to acquire. It's more, instead of a desire that's looking out for something, it's more of a desire that settles in within what is already here. That's the desire to awaken. We use the same word, desire, but it's not the same thing. Now, if the ego gets a hold of the desire to awaken, the ego can turn it into an outward-looking desire, as if I don't have it and someone else or something else does and I have to acquire it. And in that way, the desire to awaken is an error. You will often hear some teachers talking about, you must let go of the desire to awaken. That's what they're talking about. And usually teachers who are talking about that are teachers who came from that sense of lack for a long time before they realized that sense of lack itself was an error. And so coming from their own experience, they will tell you, you must let go of the desire to awaken. The desire to awaken itself is an obstacle. And they're right in that use of the word. But there's another use of the word that's different. There's a desire that has nothing to do with lack. It has nothing to do with looking out. It's the desire to settle back in within yourself, that's what's already here. For me, I would describe it as a devotional desire. That's how I experience it. It's a coming into myself. And you may also hear teachers say that until you fully awaken, do not let go of the desire to awaken. That's what will carry you there. That when you are nothing but the desire to awaken, that's when you'll awaken. And that's what they're talking about. They're talking about that desire, that devotional desire, to settle back within yourself, to settle back within what is here, so it has no lack to it. And my particular path, you know, if you look at Regina Dawn Akers, has not really been a path of lack. There have been moments of this feeling that somebody has what I don't have. But for the most part, I mean, literally for me, that was only moments. For the most part, that has not existed. Somehow when I started this path, I knew that it had to be here. That it had to be here. It wasn't out there, it was here. And so for me, desire has always been getting rid of everything that was in the way of the recognition of what's already here, and learning to sink into what's already here, learning to be from what's already here. It hasn't been a sense of lack. And so if you read teachings that come through me, such as these messages given to Laurent and me, or NTI, or Inner Ramana, or if you're reading my 7 Steps journal now, you will often hear the teaching that the desire has to be held on to, the desire has to be embraced, the desire has to be loved. Have gratitude for your desire. That's the desire it's talking about, that desire to fall back into yourself, into what is already here. And that's what Spirit is talking about in this message. You know, some of the symbols that we use are these messages, A Course in Miracles, NTI, maybe occasionally an external teacher is used, like Muji was used for me last year. But what's really waking us up is this desire to fall back into ourself, the desire to be only ourself, the desire to be only that which we truly are. That's the actual awakening power. And in fact, if you have the false desire to awaken, which is the one that always comes from lack and has you looking outside of yourself, it is the desire to know yourself which finally causes it to dawn upon the mind that the sense of lack itself is an obstacle. And that artificial desire, the desire that kept you looking outward, will then fall away. But that more inner desire, that more, what's the word, centered desire, is the desire that awakens us. All right, next paragraph. Our discussion of vibrational levels is another symbol. It is a great and useful symbol that I encourage you to understand if understanding of this symbol is helpful. If it is not helpful, I encourage you to let it go. There are other symbols, and all symbols are helpful when they are used in ease and joy. As you feel strain, frustration, self-chastisement, and loathing, recognize that symbol is not helpful and let it go. trust me to bring you another symbol, and another symbol will be given. Or I will give you understanding of the current symbol without your effort and strain. So let's take A Course in Miracles, for example. We all know A Course in Miracles, and I would imagine, I could be wrong about this, but I would imagine that all of us has had the experience at some point reading some part of A Course in Miracles and just not getting it, right? But what Spirit is saying is if that happens, do not feel like you have to effort and strain to get it. If you don't get it naturally and easily, don't worry about it. Just go on. If it is something that you need to understand, it will dawn upon your mind at some point. I will bring you another article, another book, another teacher that will explain it in another way. Just keep desiring to know thyself. And everything you need will be given, and that straining effort will not be required. And there's a reason for that, by the way, because the straining effort emphasizes the idea that I am this false self and that I have to get it. But the relaxing into trust that anything I need will be given, right? Let's go of that I that's always trying to get. In fact, look at the next paragraph. I love it when I say something and then I look back and there it is. Spirit was just about to say that. Next paragraph, little paragraph. Let all things be given as a gift from me. Let all things, including understanding, right? Let all things be given as a gift from me. Do not work to give to yourself. This reinforces the belief that you are alone. That's what I just said. The vibrational level symbol is very useful because it shows you how you choose desire and how desire leads to effects. Choosing desire is not totally conscious. That is, you can think you are choosing one desire when you are choosing another. And the symbol of vibrational levels helps you see which desire you are actually choosing now. So that's where we're really going to begin next week. We're going to look at that. But what Spirit is talking about, it's an additional refinement of the last message, which we talked about tonight. You know, I have fears about money. I want money. More than anything, I want money. And then something pops up, some job pops up, and I can realize if I go take that job, I won't be afraid anymore. And so I say, that job was guidance. But actually, I never even checked for guidance. I was only searching for something to get me the hell out of this fear of money, right? So I might be telling people, I might be telling myself, all I want is to awaken. Above all else I want to see. Wasn't that like the lesson a couple days ago? Above all else I want to see. I'm saying that. But the actual desire that I was acting on and listening to was the desire to be free of this fear of money. I wanted to be free of this fear of money. That's different than above all else I want to see, or above all else I want to see differently, or even above all else I want to see clearly. And because ego loves for us to be confused, we're not always clear on what our desire is. We can tell people and tell ourselves, my desire is A, when in reality we are being driven by desire B. The Course calls this denial. So we're going to, next week, look at this message, look at this symbol of vibrational levels, and hopefully get clear on how to intuit the desire that we're listening to, and then hopefully let go of any desires that are not our truest of desire, the one desire that has nothing to do with grasping outside ourself, but has everything to do with resting back into ourself. And by the way, I do think next Sunday night will be my last Holy Spirit guides. That doesn't mean I won't still be here at this time. But I am feeling very much to, for at least now, to let go of reading these old messages. The old messages are not feeling the same for me as they did before the trip to India. And so I'm going to let go of reading these old messages after next week, after we finish this little series. And I will begin using this time to focus on the seven steps to awakening. I don't know yet for sure whether I will do it both Sunday night and Monday, or whether it will be Sunday night and not Monday. We'll wait for current moment guidance to tell me. But I do know that the Holy Spirit guides is just, it's not feeling the same for me, and so I will be letting go of that. So next week, last message, and then, but we will continue in this time frame. And that's it for me now. So I'll see you guys tomorrow, Monday, for Seven Steps to Awakening. Bye.